And one of the cool things about being part of the family of Christ is that, you know, sometimes we get to do fun stuff, not just in church, but outside of church as well. And the last couple of weeks, some of the older guys have been kind of getting together to play basketball after church on Sundays, and it's kind of funny watching us, well, I shouldn't say us, watching me take off the rust, because, you know, as you get older, your body doesn't recover as quickly, and so I find myself a lot of times just running up and down the court, and after about two times, standing there with my hand on my side, trying to pretend like I'm not winded, and trying to catch my breath slowly, you know, and trying not to let anybody see how tired I really am, as all these young guys kind of run like, they're running like 20 miles or something, like, you know, and nobody's breaking a sweat except for me. And so I was thinking to myself, you know, especially towards the end of the day, we play for about 3 hours, and so by the end of the time, you know, I don't even have any strength left in my arms. I'm just like trying to throw the ball up, and it doesn't even reach, you know, halfway up to the basket, and you know, I'm looking around trying to blame other people for, like, Stephen, that was a terrible shot, you know, trying to get it off me. And I've been thinking a lot about this, like, how would I improve my game? And so I came to the decision after, like, you know, being Mother's Day, and I mentioned my mom. She kind of, last time I saw her, she mentioned, like, you get a little soft around the tummy. And I was, thank you, Mom, you know, God bless you too. And I was thinking about, you know, maybe to improve my game, what I really need is to just magically lose about 10 pounds, like right around the center, because I'm carrying a little bit of a spare tire. My shirt hides it well. And I was thinking about, like, you know, if I could just lose, like, a couple pounds around the middle, just magically maybe get some liposuction, I'll save up for that. Oh, no, I have to save up for the wedding. Unfortunate. And so, you know, just, I mean, fortunate. Sorry, Melissa. Fortunately. My apologies. But maybe if I lost that weight around the middle, then suddenly my game would be better. But of course that's not true, is it? That's not what makes your basketball game good. But here's the thing. It won't make me a better basketball player to lose a little bit of weight so I can run better, but it will make it easier to play basketball. And in order for me to lose weight, it's not going to be a magic process, but it actually requires a little bit of training, doesn't it? I'm going to have to actually go to the gym, pay that gym membership that I paid for. I got to actually use it and go three times a week and do some exercise, some cardiovascular exercise, right? You can't just lift weights. Some of you guys who have gym memberships, you just go and you pump iron so you can get big arms and big chests, all the things you think girls like, right? But what you really need, you're not losing the fat because you need to do exercise, the kind that makes you sweat and that makes you burn calories. And so, you know, exercise won't make me a better basketball player. But it will make it easier for me to be able to play the game. And I think the same actually goes for developing deep character in our lives. We've been talking about what it would look like to have God change us. You see, we can't change ourselves based on our own ability. We can't change our ability to do God's will in our lives, if we're honest. We can't just follow rules A, B, C and get closer to God. But we can do certain exercises that train us, so that we can connect more easily with God. And so all of us need training before we can actually do and experience God's will in our lives. Now the problem is that for most of us, if you're like me, you don't really want it to take time. You don't want it to take training. We want the fast food version of character with maybe a side order of nice, plump, juicy, oily fries to go with it. This morning, I believe that God wants us to discover together how we can learn to train ourselves to make it easier for God to grow us. But before we do, let's pray. God, our Father, thank you for your word. It is life and it is truth, and it penetrates bone and marrow and separates life from death itself. And so, God, we ask that your word would speak to us this morning and that you would equip us with practical ways that we might become everything you intend us to be. Not so that we can be a better me, not so that we can be more prosperous, but because we believe that you created us and your design for us is beautiful, is perfect, your will is the best possible thing for our lives. And so we want to know what it would be like to experience life with you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, you'll want to turn in it to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. We've been going through this series about how imperfect people become all that God intended. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And if you remember from last week, we've been talking about how when we create the right soil, the right environment in us where we can stay connected, that's critical. And we talked about two things, that as you do your 60-60 experiment of spending every 60 minutes for 60 days with God, that we need to have running partners in our lives, two critical pieces to help us. A running partner, somebody who has grace-filled, truth-speaking, authentic relationships with, so that we can have that person help us to reflect and discern what is God trying to do in our lives. So having a running partner. And secondly, last week we introduced the idea of putting intentional practices into our lives. That like a musician who's very skilled and able to play freely, or an athlete who can shoot the ball quite well and run freely, that we can only form deep spiritual character with intentional practices that help us to stay connected to the source of life, who is Christ. So instead of us falling into our habitual responses and our autopilots, we can respond to God's Spirit instead in our lives. And so today we're going to talk about developing intentional practices to prepare the soil of our hearts and minds so that we can stay connected to Christ and to allow God to do the work of helping us to grow. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, we're just going to look at two quick verses this morning. Paul instructs Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, 7, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, listen to this, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Now, I love this passage. I would love to dissect it more deeply with you, but let's get laser sharp and focus on just a couple of important things this morning. You see that in verse 7, that he talks about godliness as a type of training. And so when you talk about asking someone to be godly or growing in godliness, you're not talking about like, well, just be a nice person or be a moral person, but it requires some type of training in verse 7. And it's not the same as in verse 8. It talks about that you can do physical training, like you can pump iron, you can go for a run, you can ride a bike, and that has some value. But this is different. Godliness isn't physical training, but in comparison, what it is it's spiritual training. And so that's how I want you to define that this morning in your mind, that it's not, Paul compares two things, physical training and godliness. And so godliness, if it's not physical training, it's a different type of training, it's spiritual training. And that's how I want you to think about it this morning. And in chapter 3, verse 16, you don't have to look there, but basically it defines godliness as about staying connected to Christ. And so this type of godliness is useful for every area of life we see in verse 8. It's useful for all things. And so as we talk about what does it look like to become all that God intends, to experience God in all areas of our lives, to grow into the person that God meant you to be, that there's this requisite training that we must experience, spiritual training. And so the question, of course, is how do we develop a spiritual workout plan that actually works for our lives? And remember, the goal here is that we're trying to put intentional practices into our lives to help us better respond to God moment by moment. Not that we grow ourselves, but as we create fertile soil, that God can grow us. And so there's a couple of quick things that I'm going to blast us through this morning. And some of them are pretty basic, and so we won't spend too much time on them. But the first is I want you to think about what would it look like to develop a spiritual cardiovascular routine. And what I mean by that is, you know, like I said before, you can't just pump iron and like, you know, lift weights and then expect to be healthy. That doesn't actually make you healthy. It builds your strength. But if you are going to do exercises that help to keep you healthy and fit, you can't just lift weights. You got to do stuff that makes you sweat, that makes you run hard, etc. And so there's certain spiritual exercises that are like cardiovascular exercises. And the first is simply learning to discover how to know God's will through Scripture. Knowing God's will in Scripture. Because if you don't know God's will, how can you respond to it, right? Or if you don't know the truth, how can it set you free? And so, very basic, I know many of you already grew up knowing this, but I want to suggest to you that we need to have a practice of reading God's Word, studying it, memorizing it, meditating upon it. These four areas form the basic spiritual cardio exercise that every single one of us needs in order to be spiritually fit. And during different seasons of life, it'll look like different types of practice. For example, I started off first reading Scripture when I first became a Christian so that I could understand what does it reveal about God? What does it reveal about life? What does it reveal about me? And then there's a lot I didn't understand, so I had to do more intensive study of it to help me better understand what I'm reading. And then began memorizing certain important truths so that I could always carry that truth with me wherever I go and apply it to my life whenever I had to battle certain lies that were programmed into my mental autopilot about myself or God. And now I'm back to a simple plan of reading again and just listening to God's Word. But if there's one thing I want you to take away with this, as far as knowing God's will better to understand His will through His word, through Scripture, is, here's the key. As you read through God's word, ask God's Spirit to highlight for you anything that He wants you to see. Whether you're reading, whether you're studying, whether you're memorizing, whether you're meditating on God's word, what you need to do, the only way that God will speak to you is you need to ask God's Spirit to highlight anything that He wants you to see. Because it's useless. You know, there's a story of like the man who was locked up in the tire with the iron mask. You know, you've all, many of you have seen that movie. And one of the interesting things about it was, about that true story, was that he was given a Bible. And what he did with it was he read through every page, memorized it frontwards and backwards, and, you know, listed through all the lines and counted how many words appeared, like, and this and that. But it didn't change him. It didn't penetrate him. Why? Because he wasn't asking God. He wasn't listening to God. He wasn't asking God to speak to him through His word. So the key here is, as you read God's word, ask God's Spirit to highlight anything that He wants you to see. Now, secondly, we talk about another cardio exercise that's definitely necessary in order for you to build up the kind of soil that you can hear God and experience Him is, of course, prayer. And we already talked about this in a previous message. But if there's one thing I want you to hear about prayer, it's not a duty where you have to say, you know, let's repeat the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's not rote memorization. It's not a routine. It's not a formal ritual of religion that we do. But if I were to boil down prayer to what its basic component is that we learn to turn our hearts and our minds towards God's Spirit continually. The goal here is ongoing conversation. And so when you're praying, the goal is to focus your mind and turn your thoughts and turn your words and turn your heart towards God's Spirit on a continual, ongoing basis. So when you wake up in the morning and you start your day, a lot of times when I wake up, my first thoughts, my first words are, thank you, God, for giving me another day. I want to give it back to you and allow you to do what you will with me. Use it, you know, prepare my mind and heart, God, for each situation, each interaction that I'm going to have today. You see, as we spend time with God, even from the very beginning of our day, it sets a trajectory of how our day is going to go, how we're going to stay in continuous contact with the living God and be able to hear His voice. It requires us to prayerfully prepare ourselves, to be authentic with Him, to surrender ourselves to Him. And so I want to encourage you, as you walk through your day, would you ask God to show you His will in each moment, to allow Him to give you ears to hear His promptings, to ask Him to give you strength to respond to His will. Now, this third piece is where I really want to land for most of this morning. The third, what I would say, necessary cardiovascular spiritual exercise that we need in order to grow ourselves is not only studying God's word, not only prayer, but what I call meditation. And now I know there's a lot of funny pictures that come to your mind when you hear the word meditation, but just think of it as a way of listening more deeply to God's truth. It's not that, you know, kind of a weird religious thing where you empty your mind and you kind of go, you know, and like, that's not what I'm talking about when we're talking about meditation. But what we're talking about is actually not emptying your brain, but focusing your thoughts very sharply to spiritually see and picture God's reality. Think of it this way. It's tuning your mind to listen to, whether through silence or through God's word and scriptures, what God wants to say to you. And so what we do is we dwell on and experience what is true about God, what is true about us, what is true about other people. Now, many of us who've grown up in a Christian tradition, you know, maybe we balk at the word meditation, but it's really just a matter of semantics. It's as we look through Scripture, God oftentimes affirms actually the importance of learning to meditate upon Him and upon His word. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God says to him, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. In Psalm 48, verse 9, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Psalm 77, verse 12, I will meditate on all your mighty deeds, O Lord. And so you're getting a picture of what meditation is like. It's dwelling on truths about God and from His word. And so scriptural meditation is about focusing your mind on what is true about God and what is true about us. Letting these thoughts kind of roll around in your mind and utilizing that powerful God-given imagination that God has given you to be able to picture what God says about real life with Him as it's intended to be. There is power in meditating upon the truths that God wants to speak into your life. Let me illustrate it to you this way. There was a study done at the University of Chicago several years ago where they took randomly selected groups of people and divided them into three groups. Okay, one, two, three. The first group, they were instructed to go to the gym and to practice shooting free throws 20 minutes a day for 3 weeks. Okay, so their goal was to improve their free throw shooting percentage. So just random students, girls, boys, younger and older. And group one, go to the gym, just practice shooting free throws 20 minutes every day for 3 weeks. Group two, they were told, you go to the gym, but instead of practicing shooting free throws, we want you to just simply visualize shooting your free throws. So you don't move your arms, don't pick up a ball, just stand there thinking about it. What would it look like? In my mind, I'm picturing swish, swish. But you're not actually doing the activity. You're just kind of picturing it and visualizing what it would look like to successfully make your free throws. Group three was told to forget about basketball entirely for 3 weeks and not do anything. Here's the interesting thing. At the very end of this three-week study, the group that practiced, of course, the ones that were actually going every day for 3 weeks, they improved their free throw shooting by 24%. Of course, group two, the one that didn't do any basketball, they improved not at all. Now here's the cool thing. The third group that was told to use their God-given imagination, this isn't a Christian research thing, but I'm kind of putting God into it. As they were given their God-given imaginations and told to just visualize what it would look like to shoot successfully, they actually also improved their free throwing percentage 23%, almost exactly the same as the people who were actually shooting every day. You see, meditation, if that's true for just shooting free throws, I want you to think about it this way. Meditating on God's truth utilizes our imaginations to prepare us to make the spiritual free throws in life when the game of life is on. There's something powerful that God does with truth when we meditate on it that he can use. It can set us free from the condemning and judging and harsh thoughts that punish us with guilt and with fear or with feelings of worthlessness, as Cheryl was sharing about this morning. There's a time as a pastor, somebody gave me pastoral advice about how to help a woman who was struggling with anorexia. Woman who was basically starving herself because she felt that, you know, I'm so ugly and my family always tells me I'm so fat. And this girl was like stick thin. And this tool that this other pastor gave me was to sit this woman down and ask her to write down all of her thoughts that go through her mind that make her think about why she needs to be this skinny stick person and that drove her to starve herself. And I told her, take those thoughts, all those lies about yourself, that about your worth, about your significance. And instead, what I want you to do is write down on a piece of paper all of God's truths about you that God says to you in Scripture, that you are beautiful to him, that you're his child, that you are valuable, that you're so valuable I would trade my own son for you. And so I told her to write these things down and form a mental picture of what is God saying. And picture him, meditate on these truths, and imagine him telling these truths to you and try to accept it as your reality. A few weeks later, after going through these truths that were battling the lies in her mind, she called in tears on the phone and said, "This is unbelievable. As I've been meditating on these things, I came to realize that I've been believing lies about myself and that it's killing me. And yet I didn't even realize. I thought these lies were what God thought about me, that I'm too ugly and I'm too selfish and I'm too fat. But Scripture tells me just the opposite, that I'm beautiful and valuable in his sight. That I don't have to be good enough for him to accept me." And this started her down a road of healing as she learned to meditate on God's truth. Now there's a lot of other regular practices that we could equip you with, like journaling, like spending time in solitude, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But these three things, I would say, are the very basic cardiovascular spiritual exercises that we must practice if we're going to become the kind of soil that allows God to grow us. Knowing God's will through Scripture, letting him speak to us, asking him to highlight what he wants to say to us, praying so that we learn to turn our thoughts continuously towards God and stay connected with him, and meditating on his truths so that they penetrate us, so that they battle the lies of our autopilots in our lives. Lastly, I I was thinking about my younger brother, Tim. There was a time when we were playing sports, and he injured his fingers. I injured a lot of my fingers, but he injured one of his fingers and tore a ligament in it, and they had to surgically repair it. And it was kind of funny because, like, after they surgically repaired it, I would watch him, and he'd have to do these kind of funky exercises where he'd be like, kind of going, like, I was like, what is that? I'm exercising. I was like, okay, you know, and, you know, it'll be, and in my mind, I'm picturing, like, you know, tiny miniature dumbbells that you have to tie to your finger and go, one, two, one, two, you know, and it used to kind of crack me up, but I asked him, what is the purpose of that? He said, well, you know, after I tore the ligament and they had to surgically repair it, it's still a weakened joint. And so what needs to happen is I need to do strength-building exercises to strengthen this weakened area of my body. And so, like working out, you know, a lot of times we can do general cardiovascular exercises to increase our health, to help clean out our system and build endurance and stuff like that. But we also sometimes need rehab exercises that focus on a very specific area in order to build strength in that weakened joint. And sometimes we need focused spiritual exercises as well that help to build strength so that we can respond to God in a very specific personal area of weakness. And so for you, I want you to think about this morning. Would you ask God to help you identify what is maybe one main area of weakness that He's been prodding about in your life? Perhaps it's time for you and I to quit ignoring that one area that God keeps pushing on and asking you to strengthen. And then I want to encourage you that as you let God help you identify that as He speaks to you, to go to a running partner, a spiritual running partner, and talk over with that person, what are specific ways we can address my mind and my heart? Now, this is where your spiritual running partner comes into play, because they can help you come up with very creative ways to be able to build exercises that will help you deal with that issue. For example, let's say that you struggle with road rage. Like, you're one of those people that gets in behind the wheel, and you are the nicest person on the planet until you get behind that wheel, and then once you're in the car, you are yelling left and right, "Get out of the way, you slow bum, what is wrong with you?" And you need to swerve around them, honk your horn. If that is you, perhaps, like, you need a little bit of strength-building exercise in this area. And so I wrestled with this when I was younger, and having, like, a spiritual running partner helped me develop an exercise to learn to maybe listen to worship music as I'm driving in the car. Because it's hard to really worship God and be yelling and cussing at somebody and flipping them the bird, you know? Tough thing. Maybe it's memorizing, meditating on a couple of verses each week. For example, like Romans 12:19, which tells us, "Don't take revenge. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay." And so learning to give that to God instead of trying to take matters into my own hands. See, here's the point when it comes to doing strength-building exercises that spiritually focus you. These are the type of things that you can control. Listening to worship music, meditating on God's truth, praying, stuff like that. These are the things that you can control, and it will help you to better respond to God in that area that you cannot control, such as your road rage. So imagine that you're driving in your little 98, I don't know, say Honda Civic. And then suddenly this new SUV, like, I don't know what new SUVs are called, like the Ford Exhibitionist or whatever, I don't know. It cuts you off. And it's almost as if when they cut you off, they're taunting you and saying, "Go ahead, you little samurai car. Try to stop me." Now, instead of responding by trying to ram your tiny little Honda up this guy's tailpipe, what you could do instead to interrupt your response is to interrupt it with a new practice. Maybe you take a few deep breaths and you start saying to yourself, "Okay, don't take revenge. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You know, He will repay. I don't need to take vengeance. And you know what? Lord, please just give me patience." And what you'll find is that these new practices that will begin to turn into a habit in your life if you keep practicing them, and that these habits start to shape your character. And soon you become the kind of person that you are supposed to be. You become that. All these practices start to become part of who you are, and you'll habitually start to take a deep breath, start to put things in perspective, start to respond to God by letting go. And maybe you'll feel a little bit better knowing that you get better gas mileage in the SUV. I don't know. Or say you struggle with a critical spirit. Perhaps you're the type of person that oftentimes notices everything that's wrong with other people around you, or what they're doing wrong. Maybe your coworker, maybe your office mate, maybe a friend at school, maybe your mom and dad, maybe your kids. If you struggle with a critical spirit, perhaps a creative spiritual exercise that you could do is to take pen and paper and try to fill that page by writing down what are all the good things that you notice that God brings throughout the day. You see, what you're doing is you're interrupting that critical mindset by focusing on finding ways to be thankful. You're reordering your mind to what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 describes as giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You're practicing looking for God's goodness, writing it down, and using it as a prompt to reconnect with God's Spirit and be grateful to Him. I'm telling you, you will be amazed over time that you will find you have more gratitude, more peace, more joy coming out naturally because of Christ. Fruit will happen. As you continue this 60-60 experiment, I want to really encourage you, find a running partner. Don't try to do this alone, because you know what? God created us to be in community. Find a running partner who will help you discuss what your regular spiritual cardio workout might look like for you, whether it's, you know, developing your study and meditating on God's truths and allowing that God to speak to you through that, whether it's turning your mind continuously to be connected with Christ, whether it's meditating on God's word, and then have that person encourage you and help you to live that out in your daily life. Ask them to ask you about it each week. And then as you do that, then you can turn to not only your cardio spiritual exercises, but your strength building exercises. That you would take that one main area of weakness that God is prodding you on and focus on it and get creative about how you can do focused spiritual strength building exercises. And don't forget the point. It's not about doing these exercises to be a good boy or a good girl for God, but it's putting intentional practice in place that will interrupt your autopilot response and habits so that instead you'll respond to God's Spirit, who's the one who causes you to grow. This is how people grow. We've been talking about this all semester. We need to run together in an environment of grace and truth. We need to put intentional practices in place to help us respond to God's Spirit moment by moment. If you do this, you'll look back years from now, and I swear to you, you will be amazed. You'll find that you're living more and more of the life that you've been searching for, but you could never really grasp. You'll find that you're realizing God is at work and that you're becoming everything that God intended you to be. And so I want to encourage you, don't just toss out the bulletin insert. There's a nice blessing for moms in it, but on the backside, it actually gives us, every week we write something new to help us equip ourselves to grow and do the 60-60 experiment. And this week, I want you to figure out, take this home with you and design a spiritual cardio workout for yourself. If you need help developing a routine or finding a running partner, you can talk to me or talk to one of your small group leaders. But let's not just talk about it or hear about this. Let's go for it together. Let's pray. God, our Father, I want to thank you. I know that you are speaking to people this morning, that you want us to experience godliness, not to be good people, but you want us to train so that we can experience life the way that you intend for us to. And so, God, I ask this morning, instead of just hearing nice principles or funny stories, that you would change our hearts, that you would help us to create the kind of environment where your Spirit can grow us. And so, Lord, thank you in Jesus' name.